From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Fresh Wind, and this is
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
We're just so happy to be here, and we love you listeners. And today that was Joan Chufo, and I'm Katharina Vidi, and we just want to tell you that God loves you and we love you,
and we love Jesus,
and we love Jesus, of course. So today I just wanted to make two quick announcements. On December 5th at St. Catherine of Siena Church, there's going to be a healing mass at 7 p.m. And on December 16th at St. Aidan's Church in Williston Park, there's going to be a holy hour and music concert at 7:30 p.m. And so I just wanted to tell everybody that this show, it's a continuation of Jesus is on the Air. And it's in loving memory of Dr. Anthony Chufo and Dr. Palmer, whom we love very much. And today we're going to have some wonderful guest speakers. And we're just waiting for them to arrive, which is fine. And yeah, the song that we just played, Fresh Wind, that's what we want for this show to be. A new life, a fresh wind for the show and for everyone to know that God loves them, and that Dr. Chufo and Dr. Palmer are still living on in this show. And today we just wanted to talk a little bit about how how it all started and who am I and
yes
and how it
how
started.
Things began. Yes.
Yeah.
You want me to start with that? Sure.
Sure, if you would like.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as most of our listeners know, that Listen Up started in 2011 with Dr. John Palmer and Dr. Tony Chiffo. And how they got together was they knew each other maybe for a little while just from masses that they went to and meetings that they've been to together. But then it must have been about November in 2010. We went to a meeting at a church, and afterwards they have refreshments. And so Dr. Palmer and Dr. Tony Chiffo just sat down at this table and started talking. But they had always said that they wanted to evangelize, each one of them, that they wanted to do something special to evangelize. So what they did was they discussed how to go about this, how to do it. And I said, oh my goodness, they're never going to stop talking. We'll never leave this place. And I walked around and talked to everybody, said goodbye to everybody, and they were still talking. So the next day, I find out that they are going to do a radio show. And I said, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. And so they worked on it, and they got this radio show. And by January 11th, 2011, was it January 11th? The January 8th, 2011. It was the first show of Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. And how they did that was they decided on the name of the show. And so Dr. Palmer said, well, I think, like, Listen Up is a good thing. And Tony was so excited that he just said, Jesus is on the Air. And that became the name of the show. And that's how
that
it
seems
started.
Seems like something he would do.
Yes, exactly.
Tony would just explode.
He was so excited that Dr. Palmer said, okay, listen up. Jesus is on the Air. And that's how it came to be.
That's beautiful. That sounds just so natural. And I know you were telling me the other day about the adoration and the picture you took in the sky.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful. That we have a place in Montauk, and we usually sit on the beach right on the bay. And sometimes at night, just the way the sun comes down, it's like being at adoration. So we sit there sometimes, but this particular night, Tony went down there himself. And he was down there for a very long time. He came up. And he said, Jesus say anything to you today? And I said, well, not recently, no. And he said, well, he's going to be talking to you soon. I said, about what? He said, no, let him do it. So I just prepared dinner and went outside, and I usually take pictures of just before the sun comes down and just preparing, you know, for the sunset. And I went out there, and I took a picture of the gazebo, and then I took a picture of what was looking like just the sun coming down. And I came in to look at my camera, and the gazebo was in the daytime, but what came on the next picture looked like it was pitch black nighttime, and it looked like adoration. It was the sun in the middle, just like the host, and the sides of the picture also came out like a cross. So I just was amazed. I said, Tony, look at this picture. He said, well, Jesus said he was going to take care of you, but he said so. He said, when I said, he said, Jesus told me that I had a lot of work to do for him. And the thing is that I said, well, you have to tell my wife because she's not going to be prepared for that. And Jesus said, I'll take care of her.
I'll take care of her. And that's it.
That's what happened.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh,
that was wonderful.
I believe it. That's really awesome.
So how did you want to do this show? What happened that you decided to?
So what happened with me, so early in November, around November 5th, it was that Sunday early in November. I woke up and I thought to myself, I wonder what happened to the radio show, because I know Dr. Chiffo and Dr. Palmer would do the show. I was a guest speaker one time when we spoke about the World Youth Day in 2011. That was my first time on a radio show and the first time, you know, speaking. And I had thought about that before, like, I wonder what happened to the show. But then I would ask my dad and And he would say, I'm not sure. And I would just let it go. And that Sunday, I was like, you know, I want to find out. Like, I want to know what would happen. So after Mass, I went into the auditorium of St. Catherine's. And there was the ministry display. So everyone from the different ministries had a little display. Right. They had the music. Miss Jen Wells did the like a trifold board display of the music.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, and all the different ministries. So I asked Monsignor Rick, and then he told me, unfortunately, the show had to end on October 20th. And I was like, oh, okay. But he told me, you could speak to Joan Chufo more about it. And wouldn't you know, you
I was right there.
You walked in right at that moment.
Yeah.
I was speaking to him, and he was like, oh, she usually comes to the 1 o'clock Mass, so... and it was maybe like 12 or 12:30 or something. And then I see you walking in, and I was like, oh, the right person I need to talk to.
And I came in early enough for us to have a talk, too.
Yeah. It was like perfect because it was like we were talking for like 20 minutes, a half hour. And then so we just started talking about Joan told me what the setup is, and you gave me Trevor's the station manager's number, and then I spoke to Trevor and I spoke to Jeff, and I just got on board right away, signed a contract, and here we are.
Unbelievable.
I just felt like God. When I was in church on Sunday, I was like, you know, I want to find out for sure what's going on, and I was like, what would it take to start a show? Like, what does it entail, you know? And I just felt like it would be a shame if the show didn't continue. So I just hope that, you know, whatever God has in store, that this show will just continue. And
that's amazing. And I think John and Tony are probably saying, yay, Katharina, go. You go, girl.
Oh, you go, girl. That's just what I wrote for you, too. You go, girl. You go, Joan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just how it started, and I'm just so excited to be here and have other guest speakers, other, maybe friends from Stony Brook.
Yeah, that would be great.
Other young people, just everybody, maybe priests, just anyone who, you know, if you have a interesting conversion story, just questions about God, you know, if you have questions about your faith, and we want to help answer them.
That's right. You can get people on here that are wonderful speakers and very, very intelligent and know all about the gospel. That's the main thing. And they can explain things like our guest today will. Mm-hmm. She's one person who's very prolific in her speaking, and she speaks all over the country, you know. She goes everywhere.
I didn't know that. So,
yeah, she's always
in
someplace
state,
else. Yeah,
right?
She goes to different places to speak, yes. So, you know, what about the time that you went to Poland? Didn't you just go to Poland, too?
Yes.
Maybe you could tell the audience about that.
Sure. So, this past summer, I went with Father Johnny from St. Catherine's and the youth group there, the Morning Star Youth Group. Mm-hmm. And we went in from late July to early August. We went to Poland for the World Youth Day, and then we also went to Fatima towards the end of
I didn't know you went to Fatima,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we went to Fatima, too.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to go, actually. I was kind of like, I'm not sure, should I go, Lord? You know, it's a lot of money, and I just graduated from college, and I'm not sure. But in the end, I felt like God did want me to go, and I was like, okay, it should be a great experience with all my friends and with Father Johnny, and just, I know that it's a life-changing experience. Every World Youth Day, every pilgrimage you go, it's life-changing.
It is.
It truly is. So I knew it was going to benefit me no matter what.
Probably had something to do with this.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe God was preparing me. Okay,
yeah.
I want you to spread my mercy to all the listeners and to all the people.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I had no idea
when
I went on the trip that I would be doing a radio show.
I know.
I've never been a host of, and I'm not usually the one to want to be center stage, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm always like, okay.
Yeah.
So, the theme of the World Youth Day was Blessed Are the Merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And I think just in my life, too, I'm just, it's kind of like when you go on the pilgrimage, you get all the blessings there, but oftentimes, sometimes your answers aren't fulfilled right then, but it's just like the grace and the blessings show.
Oh, it continues.
Yeah,
it continues. That's right.
Like years after, and like even just thinking about it today, like I'm just thinking about it right now, and like God wants like to help me to like forgive other people, or like that it's a process, and that. Just thinking about that quote, "Blessed are the merciful." So if we forgive other people, God is going to forgive us and just show us His love. And just like through other people, we're going to know that we are loved so much. And I think that's just such a great thing to keep in mind. And just there's so much to say about the World Youth Day.
Yeah.
I think it's always so wonderful going to a place you've never been before. Just seeing how the people in other countries live, and just getting inspiration from Poland and from Fatima.
Poland, you saw Auschwitz then.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that must have been or expiring. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So Auschwitz. Yeah, I learned about it in school, in high school, reading Night by Elie Wiesel, and I just never thought that I would go there one day,
right.
Because it's just...
never been there, but it's just, it must have been a very sad place to be, right? I think
Auschwitz,
so.
Yeah. It was... the first moment I got there, I felt like I wanted to cry. You know, I felt that sadness in me.
Yeah, sure.
But I held it in because I was like, okay, you know. So there's two parts of Auschwitz. There's a smaller camp that has most of the buildings intact. And then there's a second part that's bigger. And it's just kind of like a big open field. You know, it's very sad to walk through and just to think of what happened to all those people there. From that, I feel that, like, the Lord was also saying at the end, after we walked through everything, God was saying, this is a very good thing. And I was, like, taken aback. I was, like, because I was just reflecting on it, and I just kind of felt that God was saying this was good, and I was like, how can this be good? All these people died, you know, like,
sure.
And he said, I just got a sense that all those souls, since they were innocent, they're in heaven right now, and they're, you know, they're glorifying me, and I'm sure that that's true, you know, I'm sure that, you know, out of the sad, out of the darkness, there is
maybe he's explaining his mercy at what the idea of that whole trip was, and he was showing you his mercy to these people who had died there,
mm-hmm.
and saying, don't be sad for them, they're very happy. They're very happy.
Yeah. I think that's so true. That's an example.
And he might
of mercy.
Have, and his mercy was with them, is maybe what he was saying during that time. You know, sometimes we think things are terrible, but maybe the people were in such a state they were in a state of horror, I imagine, but I think if God was with them and was merciful, that their idea of it wasn't as bad as our idea of it when they were going through it, you know, if they knew God was with them, if they had that feeling, and if he's telling you that, I think they did,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So
that's thank you so much. I feel like I'm just learning right now. Yeah, that's an example of mercy for me, and that God is always with us. You know, we're never alone, even though oftentimes we do feel, you know, and throughout our day that we're alone.
I know.
Or where is God?
You know, I feel that way. I'm trying to get over Tony's death, you know, and I feel that way about his last month, that I can't really think about it too much because it's too upsetting to me. But when I try to reconcile it and not be upset with the people who weren't as compassionate as I would have liked them to be, I get the feeling that maybe God's mercy was with him. He wasn't able to speak, but so he didn't say much about he, you know, during the time that he was able to speak, he said plenty and he evangelized plenty. And so that maybe that last time, maybe God was speaking to him, you know, and I was so upset, but maybe he was hearing from God and he was in another place right then. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to console myself with that. And I think that's what God's mercy was at that time.
You know, I think that's
the same idea that you were saying, that maybe God was telling you that this was a good thing. How could that be? Mm-hmm. You know, but maybe that's it. You know, he was merciful to the people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I think so.
And then you went to Fatima right from there?
Yes. So after the World Youth Day ended, we took a plane, I think, the next day, and we landed in Lisbon. In Portugal, and from there we drove to Fatima, which is about like an hour away.
Yeah,
and we spent I think two to three days there, and I love Fatima personally. It's just so beautiful, such a peaceful place. And the youth group, when we went in 2011. At the time, it wasn't a youth group yet. We were just kids from different parishes that Father Johnny rounded up and said,
"He's amazing, isn't he?"
Yes, he rounded us up and was like, "Okay." And we barely knew each other. But by the end of the trip, in 2011, we became good friends. And that has continued. And so after, in 2011, the word Morning Star.
How did that come about?
So pretty much, Morning Star is one of the titles for Mary.
For the Blessed Mother.
For the Blessed Mother. Yes. She's the Morning Star. She's the star that precedes the morning, so the rising sun.
I see.
So Jesus is the sun, the rising sun. So the Morning Star is before. It's usually the brightest star that when it's still becoming daytime, you'll still see it. It's like all the other stars vanish.
It's the longest lasting.
It's the longest lasting star. And it's usually, it's kind of close to the sun. And I'm not quite sure, to be honest. I would love to ask Father Johnny and the others more like how they came up with that.
Yeah.
But I know that Morning Star is one of the titles. And I know that, I'm just thinking about our song, the opening song.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but maybe the North Star and the Morning Star might be the same star. So I know that navigators, when they were at sea, they didn't have maps or GPS at the time, so they would look to the star.
Oh, of course.
That star, I know, is the North Star. I think always stays in its same position.
And always the brightest.
And it's always the brightest.
Yes.
So as the different constellations change in the night, that star is always bright and just staying there. They knew where to go in the night when they were at sea. So I like to think of Mary as that person.
Oh, that's nice.
Her love just kind of helps us keep moving forward with our faith.
Right.
And just to continue towards Jesus.
And she always brings us to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's, you know, praying to her is always very powerful.
It's the most direct way.
Right.
To
ask her to bring your thoughts to her son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she does that.
Yeah. So going back to Fatima.
Oh, right.
So so in 2016 we were blessed to go back again, and I was able to they asked me, and I didn't know. So every night they have a rosary vigil. So the rosary is said, each decade of the rosary is said in different languages.
Oh, I love to hear that.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
it's
one,
beautiful.
One decade would be in like English, one in Spanish, one in Portuguese, and two in different languages.
Right.
And so one night, it might have been the second night, second or third night, somebody asked me, oh, would you like to say part of the rosary in Italian? And I said, sure. And I was like nervous and stuff. But I said five Hail Marys in Italian. And that was just a very powerful experience for me because I was very close to where the Blessed Mother actually appeared. There's like the altar. And then like if you're facing the altar on the left, there is like where a tree used to be,
uh-huh.
where the Blessed Mother would come and speak to the three shepherd children.
Oh, to the shepherd children, yeah.
And I was like maybe within a couple of feet. Mm. And it was just so incredible. Just thinking about it now, you just really feel loved in that moment.
Yeah.
Because there was all those people there. I'm sure there were other people who knew Italian.
I bet you it was that minute that she chose you for the show. I bet.
Yeah.
Something happened there.
Something happened there.
Yeah.
It was like, okay. So I was right there. And then afterwards, after the rosary was said, they usually have a procession in the area where the Blessed Mother appeared. So there's with a statue.
Mm-hmm.
And four men are usually chosen to carry the statue.
Oh, okay.
And they do a little procession, and then they retire the Blessed Mother, and then that's it. Everything usually ends at like maybe 9 o'clock. It's
oh,
not.
Okay.
It's like from 7:30 to like 9 o'clock. We went during a time when it wasn't one of the apparition days, so it wasn't like a 13th. It was
oh,
more.
Okay.
It was like I think August 4th, August 5th. We
yeah.
were there, so there was a little bit less people.
And they all come for the 13th for the apparition. Is that it?
I know it's more popular.
Right,
like,
it's because that was the apparition time,
yeah,
I
that
meant.
Was, yeah,
yes,
so
yeah.
usually people from around the world would come. You would see it would be full. It would be like full.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
That Fatima. So it was a different feeling.
So you had a little bit more of a leeway. You had a little less people there.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's nice.
So it was beautiful.
Otherwise it can be so crowded. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. And hi. Barbara and Danielle just walked in, and we're just so blessed to see them. Thank you so much for coming, you know.
Oh, you're welcome.
We'll just have a couple of minutes for them to get settled.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? It's so good to see you.
You guys sound great.
Barbara,
on the radio.
Nice to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
We heard you, and it sounded beautiful.
Oh, we're so excited to have you come. This is great.
What are you doing, Mom? Looking for my glasses.
Oh. Like everyone does.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Joan, would you just like to introduce a little bit our guest speaker?
Danielle, sure.
Okay,
Danielle Campbell is here, and a lot of people know her from Channel 12 News. She's an anchor in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we're very excited to have you here, Danielle.
Oh.
Thank you for coming.
Well, you know how much
yeah.
we love you and Tony.
Oh,
and
thank you.
So
I know
highly.
Tony loved you so much, the two of you.
He made me feel like a movie star.
You remember that time he ran out after you to say goodbye for the second time?
Oh, yeah. We had
10 snow kisses. And he ran out without a jacket on.
He always said so many amazing things, and I would sit here thinking, I don't know, should I correct him? Should I tell him? It's really not real.
No, he didn't like to be corrected. But
just let it go.
Yeah, just let it go. But that time he was looking for you, and he ran out in the snow, and I said, he left me here without anything to say.
Oh, you were still on the air.
I was still on the air, sure. And he ran out the door.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll be back. You take over.
I'll be back. So long.
He had complete confidence in you.
I guess he did.
Yes.
So what are we going to speak about today, Caterina?
You guys were talking about Medjugorje,
yeah.
I heard.
Oh,
we were speaking about her trips.
Fatima. The World Youth Day in 2016. I was just mentioning a little bit about how it touched me, and And we spoke a little bit about Auschwitz and Fatima. I know this year it's the 100th anniversary, so there's a lot of excitement about
I'm
that
sure.
as
yeah,
well.
I'm sure, yeah, sure.
But I just, I guess I just had a question about, to Danielle. I just thinking about it here coming, I know that you're in the news business, and I was just wondering how the Lord led you to Channel News 12. I'm sure it was a process, you know, it wasn't just one day you were on Channel 12.
That's a great question. I always struggled with, you know, should I work for Telecare, which is such a great product and, you know, wonderful way to reach people, or some other, Catholic channel or something, or right for the Long Island Catholic. But I felt that I could do and touch more hearts and use God's will in mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And I felt very strongly about making that decision. And even though it's a little bit more challenging because you have to hold on to your faith and beliefs, but still respect, of course, all the different and beautiful
different
people that we have on
a
Long
lot of
Island,
people in the world,
right, and all the amazing people that do. I'm so blessed because I get to meet people of all walks doing the most beautiful works, and really God's work. I say to people all the time, you know, you're doing God's work. People who are packing up for sending things to the troops, or making blankets for the orphans, or, you know, I mean, gosh, it just goes on and on. And I've been so lucky and blessed to see all of Long Island and all of its beautiful, wonderful, everything that's so beautiful and wonderful about it. And I'm sorry, we rushed here, so I'm a little
that's okay.
I'm a little out of breath, but I did work at WNBC News with Howard Stern and IMUS, and I worked at WGBB. This was one of
where she started.
Yeah, this was
awesome.
That was my first. I actually went from WNBC. I worked at NBC, and then I would anchor news at WGBB. And the thing about GBB is, if you wanted to make it in the news business as a journalist, a broadcast journalist, you had to work at GBB. It was,
isn't that,
you know,
something?
And
see that?
They really
like
held it in very high esteem to work for the WGBB news team. And, you know, it was great. So, yeah, this place has this very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. And it just reminded me as you were talking that no matter what faith we are, or the people are listening, that we're all children of God and doing God's work, right?
That's it. That's exactly what I was trying to say. I can't believe the diversity of Long Island is so fantastic. And just, you know, I meet Hindu families and Muslim families and just, you know, Christians and Jewish faith, and they're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Trying to get good things going.
Everybody's got their own way of getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all going to the same place, hopefully.
We're trying.
Yeah, we all have the same thing in mind.
So I drove like a maniac to get my mom here.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I mean, I was safe.
She did that very safely. She means, yes.
Safely, quick driving.
A safe maniac.
Yeah. I'm on, you know, the E. Of course, you know, the car's always on E when I come here. I don't know why. It's like a challenge. It's like, so my mother said, the Lord will provide. He'll get us there. Just keep going.
Yeah. Oh.
Ignore the gas gauge.
That's what she told me.
Ignore it. Yes. You'll get here.
So I was thinking about that. It's kind of like life, you know, like you think you don't have enough gas to get through the challenges we have. And, you know, somehow God provides.
He does.
Definitely.
Oh, wonderful. So I guess we could just ask Barbara a question now. Or did you want to say anything?
No, I thought, when Danielle was speaking, it just reminded me that we're in Advent now, and how many people you meet who are maybe not preparing for Christmas, but they have their own holidays, and some of the things, I think it's nice to talk about some of the things that we prepare for with Advent, being this is the second Sunday of Advent coming up, and I think you were saying before that you had a question for Barbara about Advent, I think. Wasn't it concerning Advent?
Sure, a couple of little questions, but the first one kind of sums
Barbara's
up.
Barbara's an expert, by the way, so we ask her everything.
Yes. one simple question I had was, what are some simple ways we can prepare for Christmas during Advent, and just what are some of your thoughts about the Advent season and how to help guide us, I guess you could say.
This is one of my favorite topics.
Oh, okay.
And I get in a lot of trouble for it, so I'm going to prepare you ahead of time that I may be in trouble for this.
Okay.
But one of the things that happens during Advent that shouldn't be happening is we start celebrating Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's really about marketing. That's really about making money.
Commercialism.
And
yes.
Commercialism.
Yeah.
We are not supposed to be celebrating Christmas during Advent. Advent is a time of preparation to receive Jesus into our heart in a new way, and more than just receiving him, to learn how to impart him to others and to birth him to others and to bring him to others just by our very presence. And I don't mean you have to have all kinds of wonderful things to say or even quoting scripture, although the scripture is always there in your heart, but I just mean being present to people. And so, okay, so Advent is the time to really prepare to birth him in our lives in a way. There's always promotion in the glory in the Lord. There's always a higher way. There's always more. So even though we've been doing that for all of our lives, there's always another step to take. So we have to start remembering what Advent was really all about before it became, as Joan said, a real time of commercialism. I see people throwing their tree out the day after Christmas, and I'm like, my God, liturgically, this is so incorrect. We only started celebrating Christmas, and it's the whole octave, of Christmas. The church, Christmas is too significant, too over the moon to celebrate in one day. Christmas is celebrated, we have an octave to celebrate it. And we really, the Christmas season, as you know, goes on to the baptism of Jesus.
Yeah.
So what happens is we're all so exhausted and we're done with Christmas the day after Christmas. And we've missed the whole point. Actually, one of the Gaudete Sunday it's a Latin word for joy, and that's the third Sunday of every Advent. And the very fact that that Sunday is set aside for joy should tell us that the other Sundays aren't.
That's
right. Yeah, and purple is the color for Advent. So purple, of course, means penance, but it also means royal. So we need to really enter into a time of penance during Advent. That's what it's all about. And penance isn't beating ourselves up necessarily, but it's doing things that stretch us, that we have to dig deeper into ourselves to do. And everyone knows what that is for them. And it can be a very simple thing. It could be, going out of your way to talk to someone that you don't really feel you have time for. Being very aware of, again, as I said, presence. Just kind of being alert to how is the Holy Spirit asking me to be present to this person. We all have very busy lives and we're rushing through them. And the scripture tells us, Paul always says, in season or out of season. And what that means is we need to be there in working for the kingdom, whether it's in season or out of season, meaning whether it's convenient or inconvenient. And I know I have to constantly pull myself back to that. Like, I'm the kind of person, if I'm in the supermarket and I see somebody I know, I go three aisles over to the other side. Because
not
I'm like, no, I don't have time. I can't do this, Lord.
She does.
And Dave, he was always just the opposite. He would be like, I would see him heading towards someone. I'd be like, oh no. And I'd try to run the other way.
Oh, Tony then, would never not say something to someone.
Exactly.
Same.
Tony, too. That was just
never.
How
oh, my God. He'd go out of his way, go running a block away. Hey, here I am.
Exactly.
Like the Danielle
yes.
the second time.
Yeah, they ran, he ran right out the door.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. I would hear Dave say the magic words, I think my wife Barbara is here somewhere. And I'd be like, oh no.
That's your Utica.
So I've been trying, you know, that would be something for me. That would be a penance for me to go out of my way and just kind of greet somebody and, you know, ask them how they were doing. And I guess because I'm a counselor and I'm listening to people all the time, that when I'm off,
you're like, oh no,
I don't want to listen to anything. So, yeah, so each of us, I think what the best prayer is for Advent is to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and show us the places where we need to step up the loving, you know, the outward loving. One of the things that I have found with counseling is if there's one significant root of all trouble in the human condition, it's really not feeling lovable. Almost everything comes from that. And so many people who look together and they, you know, they act like they're together and their jobs are together, and you'd never know it, but at the root of almost everything, I can tell you, is that they really do not feel loved. And they may have been loved, but their perception, it could have been a very simple thing that happened when they were kids, but somehow the kid in them is not convinced. And so how can you be convinced of God's love? So I would say Advent is a time to ask the Lord to convince you of his love.
Wow, that was just so much. That's so...
Sorry.
No. Beautiful. It's all great stuff. I just don't know where to continue.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We should mention that you are...
That is...
Mention the fact that what you do and who you are. And you should mention that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce...
That's okay.
Barbara is a... I'm sorry. She's a counselor from Living Waters Catholic Counseling Center. She is a spiritual director as well, and she teaches Bible study classes, and she's also a children's book author, writing. Her first book was Ella, French and Ella.
Which is on Amazon.com.
Yes, Amazon. And I have, eight more books at home if anyone wants them.
Great.
Yes. Free copies.
Yes. And I wanted to say some of the money from those books is going to Haiti. To the kids for, you know, water, because all the stuff that's gone on there lately.
There's really a Long wonderful. Island group of, I guess, mostly women who have been very devoted to Haiti. You know, there's so many groups across Long Island devoted to Haiti. We happen to become friendly with, what's the group's name, Heart?
True Love Mission.
True Love Mission. And they're really working on...
Water wells.
Getting water, which is a big issue. Yeah. So. Oh. So my mom's books are being sold, and how much are you donating a book?
Well, right now, all of it.
Oh, all of it.
Yeah,
goes to them.
That's okay. Amazing.
That's very nice.
And the second book
is
coming
little book
out
too.
Yeah, as well, right?
Yeah. Excited about that.
So that's kind of like an Advent book, right?
Yeah. She it's goes, like that Sunday dinner. I love
what
that
she
Sunday
goes through.
Dinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Sunday Dinner. I'm just promoting it a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And well, you tell about it because. It's your book.
Well, it just celebrates the whole idea, going back again to the idea of family
loving
together.
Loving a kid. It fits in with exactly what you're saying, the kid being, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, you say.
No, you say.
It's okay. You both fill in as we go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's being present, really. Being present to, you know, Ella learns to think out of the box. She learns to... laugh at her fears, you know. It's a very fun thing. It's all about God, but God is kind of under the wire, you know, under the radar, so that it's not like God in your face necessarily, because I wanted it to be a book that could go into any home, but it's definitely about the Lord, you know, and you know, there's a lot of hidden stuff there. So it's a great book to really get kids in touch with, and parents in touch with, dealing with children's fears and getting them to think out of the box, getting them to be creative, and how the Lord always has another plan. He never runs out of plans for us, you know? This A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, I love the book because it's just so simple and something that everyone can relate to, you know, having a dinner. It's a Sunday dinner, but I know that has a lot of significance as well. But it's just about the little girls and their grandmother. They're just having a conversation and having dinner, and it's just very simple, but it's just so profound as well. And the pictures and just...
It's so silly.
It's really silly.
It's silly, silly fun. Ridiculously silly.
That's what touched me too, because I'm kind of serious. That book was so silly, but by the end of it, I was laughing and I just forgot everything that I was... The silly little things that we're concerned about. So it's good for adults and for children as well.
In fact, every time Katarina and I met after she... I think when she first read the book, she had the same experience most adults have. They're like, what?
What is this
I don't
book?
Get it.
It's kind of Dr. Seuss-ish. Yeah. You know, she had, my mother has like this really great... We have a line from it? One line.
One line? Yeah. Let's see.
It's very rhymey.
Ella Francinella was using the table as her umbrella. Lucy Latish and Francie LaRue were sitting at the table eating their stew.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
And very cute.
Yeah, let's sing some rhymes, said Lucy Latish, while we're waiting for our barbecue dish. Okay, so Ella starts singing, the mouse ran up the, and she, Lizzie and all the other proper people at the table say, the clock, and Ella jumps in and says, no, the mouse ran up the French fry, not the clock. So it's like starts there, and it gets crazier and crazier. But kids immediately understand it, but adults don't get it at all. And it was so great when you said you really got it. And then every time Katarina and I met after she got the book, finally, and really laughed, all she could do was sit and laugh at me, because she was like, this is so funny, I can't think of anything else but the book when I look at you.
Yeah.
Reminds me of one of my grandchildren, too. When he was little, I used to sing, You Are My Sunshine. And when he got a little bigger, he wanted to do that too, with the way in the book where she says, no, up my French fry. He'd say, you are my pineapple, my only pineapple.
Can I borrow that?
Yeah, sure.
Can I take that?
Sure.
That's great. I love it.
That's so funny. That's
and he would change it every time. He never sang that song again.
How creative.
The same way.
See, it's out of the box.
Out of the box, yeah.
Like God. God is so out of the box. Whenever he asks us to do anything, we think we've heard something crazy, like what you're doing right now.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Right, that's a great point.
Yeah, right?
Katarina's.
Like, God would never ask me that. Yeah, he would. The crazier it is, the wilder it is.
I never thought I'd be here. It's just not me. I don't know. But I guess here I am. I just thought of when you said about the song You Are My Sunshine, I just thought of my sister. She's actually at the Catholic University of America right now. I don't know if she's listening. Hopefully she is, or eventually she'll listen. I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
And I would always sing that to her because she's more recently, because she's not a morning person. I'm more of a morning person, and she's like more of a night owl. And I would be like, you are my sunshine. And she'd be like, oh, shush. Not right now. But
That's cute, too.
And that fits in, because like Jesus is our sunshine.
Yeah.
We were just
speaking about the sun. Yeah.
About the morning star and the sun. And
Father Peter, if you.
Oh, great. So we have a little reflection here about Advent. That's actually perfect. We could just go ahead and read a little bit about this. It says, so how do we prepare to celebrate Christmas in such a way that we ourselves are welcoming Christ into our lives and inviting others to meet him also? This Sunday's readings, the second Sunday of Advent, so tomorrow or tonight's readings, show us the way and introduce us to two of the season's most important figures, the prophet Isaiah and John the Baptist. If anyone calls us to urgent repentance, it is John. With Isaiah, we see unfolding before us the grandeur of God's plan for his creation and his people. In the great prophecy of harmony in the animal kingdom, our longing for God's peace is confirmed. Celebrating Christmas means not only interior and moral change, John's call, but also participation with joy in God's glorious plans for his creation. St. Paul completes our Sunday instruction. The urgent work of repentance and joy is in no way just a single act accomplished in one mighty but short span movement, but a deep-rooted, enduring conviction that God is in charge. We need to be prepared to deal with long-term discouragement and setbacks. Advent journeys can end in confusion without the readiness to endure in hope. The true Christmas spirit moves from the work of interior change to an open-hearted welcome to all who wish to know and feel the excitement glowing in our hearts. To come down to earth, Christmas must mean we are peacemakers, welcoming family, friends, neighbors to come closer in trust, just as the infant, who placed his hand on the cobra's lair, in one of the readings for today, that's mentioned. The lion down with the kid and stuff, and that fits in perfectly to what Barbara was saying before about welcoming family, friends. Just kind of taking that step when we don't feel like it to keep doing God's will. I just thought of a simple example last night. I came home from work and I was kind of tired, and my little sister wanted to show me what she did. So it's kind of like creativity, like what you were saying before. She's like, "Oh, come see my winter wonderland." And I was like, "Oh, I have to eat dinner. I'm tired, blah." But then I was like, "Okay, let me go see." And I went downstairs in the basement, and she had put this beautiful paper and like made it really pretty with like a dollhouse and stuff. So it was creativity. And I was like, "Oh, that's nice, you know, like good job." Just giving her that encouragement. And I guess I don't see how important that could be for her, because I haven't seen her all day, and maybe she just, you know, wanted somebody to see, "Oh, look what I did," you know. And then at night, it was a double blessing for me as well, because we were reading a story together, and she has this cute little Advent storybook. So it's like one story a day. It's just one long story, but it's one page a day. And it's about a little bear who's on his way to Bethlehem. And it's about the people he meets on the way before going. And it's really cute. One of our parishioners actually gave it to Amanda. Her name is Mary. And I loved the ending, kind of touched me, because it's like the mama bear said in the end to the little bear, "When you trust in God, know that he will catch you when you fall." Or always know, like, because that story was actually, the story was, it was about the mama eagle teaching the little eagle how to fly, because he wanted to follow the star. The little eagle wanted to follow the star to go find Jesus, to find the Bethlehem, but he couldn't because he didn't know how to fly yet. So the mama bird was like, "I'll take care of that," and she threw him out of the nest. And then the little bear is like, "Oh no!" But then the mama bird caught him before like he fell, and like she would keep doing that until he was able to spread his wings, and then they flew towards the star.
That's beautiful.
And then that was just the story, and that was so beautiful. So we could kind of think of God and the Blessed Mother as well as helping us.
I feel like I need somebody to catch me before I fall too.
Yes.
Yeah. We all do.
Since Tony's not here and you're missing your husband too.
Oh, so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I need.
Yeah. I think that the people all around you, I think, are a good,
It is. Just like all the people that the little bear met. I think that's what I need.
I think, though, also, more than that, we need supernatural help. You know, we can count on that. The the natural help is great, but we need to go to the throne room, and we need to... I beg God every day, please keep me in your will. You know, because we're happy for them, and they're having great fun and praying for us, I know.
But, you know, it kind of is hard here.
Yeah. My mother's mad now. My dad just passed.
Right. Yeah. My father. I didn't get mad at him yet.
No, she said in the car, he's up there having all this fun, you know, wherever, you know, he's up in heaven.
Or and even enjoying praying for us. I'm sure he's doing that.
You know, doing all these great things, you know, Saint David. And she said, and I'm here worrying about, you know,
everything else.
Trash, leaves, oil bills.
Coming to the show.
But, you know, I think it's important to realize we can have two spaces in our heart. One for the sorrow and sadness, and then one right next door to it with the joy of knowing that,
that's beautiful.
Right? The sad, you don't have to be the miserable or happy. You know, we can actually have both going on at the same time. And the joy of the Lord is so wonderful at a time like this for us, too, because the whole idea of the sacrament of marriage is to bring one another to heaven, you know, and I think that we accomplished that together as a team, and you accomplished that as a team with Tony, and, you know, hopefully they'll get us there now.
Oh, they're there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, 3 minutes?
Four minutes, okay. So just to wrap up really quickly, I know our saint of the day was Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Frances Cabrini, but I guess Saint Teresa just came out. I don't know what that was, but they're just two wonderful saints just to keep in mind. And
that's amazing, because that's what Dr. Palmer and Tony used to talk about all the time. They prepared for something, and he'd have a saint right in front of him, and then he'd say, oh, no, I have to speak about now Saint Teresa. I don't want to speak about that, or some other saint, you know, and that's just happened to you.
It just came out.
She wanted to do Mother Cabrini, but
Saint Teresa came. Was so faithful, and she definitely had a lot of Advent going on.
Yeah, right.
Right.
There's three Teresas. Which one did you have in mind?
Of Calcutta.
Oh, Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Right. And she had darkness, right? Dark night, they say.
Darkness of the soul.
Right. Her diary revealed that. And I think that's the important thing. Just take the next step and don't delay being obedient to God.
Mm-hmm. And then you have your ending song, too.
Oh, sure. Our ending song is pretty much the song that Al Barbarino created for the show.
That's right.
And it's Remember That Jesus Loves Us.
That Jesus Loves Us, and it's written by Paul Vall and sung by Al Barbarino. And Katerina chose to use the song at the end of the show to remind everybody. And
you may have like a minute left.
A minute, so you better put it on now.
There we go. It's a nice...
I think everybody remembers that song.
Nice, smooth, loving song.
Yeah. But it's nice to... I think you did a great job, Katerina.
Oh, thank
and
you.
You'll be here, and you say goodbye to the people and talk to them next week.
Yeah. So I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much, Barbara and Danielle and Joan. God bless you all. We love you, and we... we'll see you. We'll hear you next week.
Yeah.
Great job.
Great show. Yay! And thank you to Megan and everybody else that's here. Trevor.
Beautiful new show.
Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that He loves us, and let's thank Him every day. Seems way beyond us, and our heart is filled with fear. Turn it over.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBV.
Disappear.
Thank you.